Okay, turn with me this evening to the book of Acts. One of the things that is always stirring to our thinking is, as we read the Bible, we always are stirred by the fact that at different occasions we see God working in a very special way. And it's always great to, you know, see God work. In the book of Acts, God worked in a great way, and the Bible records how he worked in a great way. We'll look at some of those texts. But as we think about that, we also want to ask ourselves the question, why? You know, what are the circumstances around the working of the Lord? And the book of Acts gives us some insights or some thoughts about the working of the Lord. And what are those ingredients or those circumstances in which he works in a great way? So we'll look at a few passages of scriptures and just take note of some of these workings of the Lord. Turn to chapter 5. In Acts chapter 5, of course, we see the context of the Sadducees and Pharisees telling the disciples that they're not to witness at all, and et cetera. And we see the Lord working in that situation. In fact, I'm mixed up here. Hold on. I'm 70 now. I had a different Bible, and that is a problem. Okay. And I think I looked at... well, we'll get there. Let's go back. Okay. That's why. That's exactly what I did. Chapter 4. Chapter 4, verse 29. The apostles had been told not to witness. And instead of deciding not to witness, they decided to pray. And the Bible gives us the context, verse 29, and now, Lord, they're praying, behold their threatenings. And grant unto thy servants that with all boldness they may speak thy word. By stretching forth thine hands to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done by the name of thy holy child, Jesus. And when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake the word of God with boldness. And the multitude of them that were believed were of one heart and of one soul. Neither said any of them that aught of the things which he possessed was his own, but they had all things common. And with great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. And great grace was upon them all. And great grace was upon them all. What a statement. The grace of God, and great grace, it says. The supernatural ability, the favor of God was upon them. And it just kind of strikes you. Wow. Great grace was upon them. Now, if you look a little bit earlier in the chapter 14, chapter 14. I better go home. I think I will, no. So let's go to chapter 2. My wife I used my wife's Bible, her old one, and she got a new one because it was made in China. There's all sorts of mistakes in it. Now, no offense to China, but, and so I'm reaping the results of that even right now. In Acts chapter 2. In verse 46, and it says, "And they continuing daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people." And having favor with all the people. Now this is supernatural work of God. That the people, God granted them favor before the people. You know, instead of this wall of resistance, instead of this questioning, instead of rejection, the Bible says God gave them great favor. Okay. And it's almost like God was drawing all these people to the disciples. You know, some have said that one of the great differences between New Testament and much of what goes on today is in that New Testament, people were drawn to the holy living of the disciples and the Christians. Today, people reject holy living. They try to get away from that. That's not real Christianity. Real Christianity is there was so moving of God that people were drawn to the disciples. They were drawn to the believers, and God gave them favor in the sight of the people. This is an amazing thing, the work of God that was happening there. Now. I can see if I get the right verse. Okay. In chapter 5, we have the sin of Ananias and Sapphira. And we have an interesting statement as a result of their death. In Acts chapter 5, it says, and great, verse 11, and it says, and great fear came upon all the church, and upon as many as heard these things. And you think about that, the fear of the Lord was really spread around. You know, the fear of the Lord. And amazing thing. And this was verse 14. And believers were the more added to the Lord, multitudes of both men and women. Now, obviously, there was a great moving of God, wasn't there? But there was this great spirit of the fear of the Lord. And of course, we know from a human standpoint, history standpoint, then great revivals, what happened was that the fear of the Lord fell on communities, in places. We think about the revival in the Hebrides Island. The young people of the community were at a dance. And right in the middle of the dance, the fear of the Lord fell on that place. And they fled. They fled that music hall. They fled that dance hall. The fear of the Lord, God moved. And we look in the Bible, we see these different situations that God was moving. Now, it's always interesting to look at some of the context of this great movement of the Lord. And so let's go to a couple of these texts. Let's go to chapter 5. No, I tried that once. Chapter 4. Chapter 4. So really of note here. It says, in the multitude, verse 32, of them that believed were of one heart and of one soul. Neither said any of them that aught of the things which he possessed was his own, but they had all things common. Now, this is not the first time that we see a text like this, but we see the next verse, and with great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, and great grace was upon them all. You know, how do we connect in the context the power and the grace of God that was upon them? Well, there's a context. It says the multitude of them. Now, there's this great multitude. There's this great multitude that were of one heart and one soul. Now, of course, that's where chapter 5 comes in, because this was a marvelous thing that you have this one, this great multitude that are sold out. They are totally committed. They are selfless to the core in providing for the ministry. And there was a definite other side. God's side was God gave them great grace. Now, of course, that helps us see why the sin of Ananias and Sapphira was so horrible. And God dealt with them such in a drastic means is because this is an unusual thing. This unity of this great multitude, you know, to have that many people to be totally committed to the gospel, to be selfless, that anything they owned belonged to God. Everything they owned belonged to God. No holds. Nothing to hold on. No chain in their pocketbook. Nothing. Because they were committed to Jesus Christ. And wow, we see how God responded to that. And God does respond. You know, sometimes we don't really, you know, God is a person. Did you know that? God does respond. You know, think of old wicked Ahab. And God pronounced the judgment on Ahab. And Ahab, he went and he humbled himself and he put on sackcloth and ashes. And the Bible says God saw it. He saw him humble himself. And he says, I'm going to withhold this now. It'll happen later.
You know, I see this man humbling himself. Now, that was quite a statement. With one accord, in heart and in soul. Okay, we see in chapter 2, we see a similar thought, right? In chapter 2, you know, gives us some simple ingredients to revival, really. What is revival? Well, there's two parts of revival. In one sense, when we talk about revival, we're talking about the God of heaven is allowed to work. And he finds freedom to work. And he does work. But there's a human side to it. And you know, I'm not trying to make this light of it, but you know, sometimes you could pray as much as you want for revival. It would never come. It would never come. You could pray till you're blue in the face. Because if you don't have this kind of spirit of selflessness, if there isn't this freedom of the Spirit of God, if there isn't this unity of spirit, you could pray till you're blue in the face. I'm just using it as an expression. But you know, God sees, right? He sees. And in Acts chapter 2, what did he see? Of course, the beginning of the chapter, the atmosphere has already been set by the disciples. And the day of Pentecost was fully come. They were all with one accord in one place. And one accord in one place. And what was it all about? We'll see it in chapter later on. It says, now here they have 3,000 people that got saved, baptized, and added to the church. And what happened when these 3,000 people got added to the church? Well, you know what? The church power was multiplied. Why? Because it says, because they... all these souls, all these 3,000 souls, they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in breaking of bread and in prayers. And fear came upon every soul. Wow. You know, the real key to a powerful church is, you know, when people join the church, the power of the church increases. That's what church membership is about. You know, Aaron Simonson preached this sermon. Some people go to church to be served. Other people go to church to serve. Well, you know, see which end this is all about. The power of the church was increased. Why? They continued steadfastly the apostles' doctrine and fellowship. Breaking of bread, worship. They were just in love with the Lord. They couldn't adore him enough. And in prayers. And fear came upon all, every soul, verse 44, and all that believed, again, were together and had all things common. And they sold their possessions and goods and parted them to all men as every man had need. And they continued daily with one accord in the temple. And the breaking bread from house to house did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. Now, we see again that selfless devotion, that selflessness, whatever it took to make the work of God go. Whatever it took, whatever they had. This is about making the work of God go. And, the Bible tells us that, They continue in fellowship. You know, we see that same principle in Acts chapter 4 when they commanded the disciples, now don't preach. Don't preach in the name of Jesus. And they says, we have to. You know, we're going to. And then they said, well, Lord, they threatened us. They're going to kill us, do something bad to us. But we're not going to stop witnessing. But we need power. We need boldness. And they prayed. Why? They prayed because they were committed. And God gave them the power of the Holy Spirit. And they spake boldly in the name of Jesus Christ. And you see this whole atmosphere, the fellowship, the commitment to the gospel, the selflessness. Of course, in all these places we have, both of these places we have this atmosphere of prayer. You know, atmosphere of prayer. Now, I think that it's more than just ritualistic prayer. I think that prayer was truly a prayer of faith. It was a prayer of dependence. It was a prayer that they were really getting their breath from God. There was really, really communion with the Lord. Wow. So God did something. You know, that's what the scripture says. One man plants, another man waters, but God gives increase. It's God that does the work. And so we see a human part of it, and we see a divine response. And so, you know, really the key of the Lord's work is the favor of God. You know that? The key of the Lord's work is the favor of God. You can have everything right, but if you don't have the favor of God, nothing, I hate to use this phrase, nothing is going to happen. Nothing is going to happen. There's an atmosphere in which God works. And one of the great challenges of life challenge of a church and the challenge of believers and the challenge of church members for a church to be such in a spiritual state that there is this unity in spirit, this unity in commitment, this unity in selflessness. There is this unity of heart and soul to spread the word of God. And of course, other things are with that, you know, whether that means, you know, forgiveness and being right with God, not worldliness, not seeking after the world, you know, sins and et cetera, et cetera. But as just we think about the New Testament, what we see is God working. That's what we see, God working. That ought to be our heart cry. You know, you might not like this statement, but it is true. You know, those who have the truth and have the right position on the truth, should be the ones where revival centered. But history doesn't prove that to be true. History does not prove that's always true.
because there is there are some other important ingredients that allows God to work. And there's some things that would prevent God from working. And of course, Sunday night we mentioned that God resists the proud. You could have everything right, but if you have a proud spirit, you're not going to see God work at all. Even if you had every doctrine to the T exactly right. Now, the disciples had their doctrine right, but they also had their heart right. And they had their soul right. And, you know, God knows all those things. God knows all those things, doesn't he? I hope that your heart is to see God, the God of heaven, to show himself great and moving in our midst and in our lives. Maybe that would increase our hunger for God to work in our life and say, Lord, what's keeping you from working in my life? And if everybody was at that place, then we might see God work in a big way, right? Every Sunday morning. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for the Word of God. Thank you for these challenges to our soul, Lord. We think of David, how he said, my heart panteth after thee. And Lord, we think of how you said you'd pour waters on him that is thirsty, Lord. And we see, Lord, how Lord, you responded with favor and grace and power. Lord, when the people of God were selfless, when they were committed, when their heart was all about seeing souls come to Christ and the Savior being lifted up and the work of God going forward. And Lord, I pray that we'd be gripped, Lord, with such a thing. I pray that, Lord, even young people would hunger to see God work in and through their lives. And that, Lord, that you would challenge each one of us as members and as Christians about that true relationship we have with you. And, Lord, there is nothing too hard for you. Lord, may it not be that you cannot do many mighty works because of our unbelief as well. And so, Lord, bless our prayer time. Lord, help us to be revived even in these days. And might, Lord, those secret decisions and that working be done in our lives that even this Sunday we could see a sense, a touch of the Spirit of God working freely in this place. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.